I'd like to welcome you to tonight's December 7th Othello City Council Workshop. If you would all please rise, I'll lead in a short prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we have the honor to honor people, to honor you, to honor this city, this government, and this nation. We thank you for the blessings that you've given to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Item 1.03 is the roll call, and I see that all council members are present tonight. So we'll move to item 1.04, citizen input. This is the section of the city council meeting where any citizen has the opportunity to address the Othello City Council for up to 5 minutes. If you'll please raise your hand, I'll recognize you. You'll come to the microphone. State your name and address for the record, and then you have up to 5 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone here present tonight who would like to address the city council? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to our current business tonight. 2.01, volunteer recognitions. And at this time, could I have Roy and Sandy Dodge please come forward? It's with great pleasure tonight that I get to honor Roy and Sandy Dodge with the City of Othello 2015 Volunteer Award. This is an award that the City Council gives and the mayor to people who have distinguished themselves in our community with their volunteerism and the work that they've done to make Othello a better place to live and play and have fun. I want to give a little brief history. We have Sandy Hampton Dodge, who had the brilliance to marry a young man named Roy, and they came to Othello, and since that time, I think they've been working consistently ever since. One of the things that they've been members of the Adams County Fair Board, and they're still active in as auxiliary members of the Fair Board. Roy is president of the Cemetery Board, and he's also president of the Othello Senior Center. Roy was a volunteer firefighter. He's a Lions Club member. They volunteer for the Othello Food Basket Program. They're both members of the Beautification Committee. They both are pet rescue volunteers. Sandy creates the menus for the Othello Senior Center. I didn't know that. Sandy is the superintendent of the Adams County Fair Exhibit Buildings. Sandy was involved in the Othello School District for many, many years. And Sandy was on the Othello Museum Board for many years. And tonight, I get the distinct pleasure of honoring Roy and Sandy with a Community Service Award for outstanding volunteerism to the City of Othello. Sandy? And Roy, I want to thank you. I also have a City of Othello pin that I'd like to present you.
Thank you.
And it is a distinct honor to be able to honor you two for all of your service that you do. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So if you want to say a few words, you have the floor.
You need to show and get a picture from the newspaper there. You need to do that. Mayor, what do you need?
Yeah, just. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. It's really an honor and pleasure to get this.
family moved here in 1950 in Christiansville, and my father was very active. My grandparents, as you know, the cemetery, and we helped with the hospital. We're just carrying on their legacy.
Thank you very much. That's great. At this time, I'd like to call forward Donna Rutan. Thank you, Donna. I want to read a few words about you, if I may. Donna, this list is completely incomplete, but it gives you a flavor of what Donna has done. She's a Lions Club member, past president, and the current treasurer. She goes above and beyond the call of duty. She's one of the forces that keeps them finding different ways to raise funds for their causes, and she is present at all their activities and, of course, rolls up her sleeves to lend a hand. She partnered with the Columbia Basin Health Association with the Lions Club, and they purchased a machine for testing school-aged children's eyesight and a heavy-duty weight scale for the food bank. Donna worked in the community garden and delivered produce from the community garden to the Othello Food Bank. She works at the Lions food booth at the Adams County Fair, and she also organizes all the labor at that food booth at the fair. She's in charge of genealogy for the LDS Church. She's very involved in the Pilgrim Lutheran Church Quilters, a non-denominational group of women who make quilts for Lutheran World Relief. The quilts are shipped around the world wherever there's a disaster, earthquakes, refugee camps, floods, etc. The group also gives to our local Christmas baskets and local area fire victims. Donna has also been a Red Cross volunteer for many, many years, organizing the blood drives that I remember my first one as a teenager at Othello High School when Donna was running that program. She truly believes in helping others and finds much joy while doing it. Her volunteerism is never a chore, but an act of kindness given freely. And it is my distinct pleasure to present this City of Othello Community Service Award to Donna Rutan for outstanding volunteerism to the City of Othello. Thank you, Donna. And it's also my honor to present this pin to you, the City of Othello pin, for your many years of service. Yes. Do you have any words you want to say?
Yeah, I moved here 50 years ago, 1965, and almost ever since then, I've been a volunteer in the community, doing something, one way or the other. And I think I'm doing things secretively, but people find a way of finding out what I'm doing. You know, I go home and snip off the flowers at the flower pots, and then somebody will say, I'm sorry, you snipped off the flowers. Thinking I'm doing it very discreetly. But thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Pictures? Okay, what pictures? Oops, okay, there we go. Thank you.
This time I'd like to call forward Barbara Anderson. 2015 has been an interesting year for Barbara Anderson and also for the City of Othello. And it is my honor and privilege to be able to say a few words about Barbara before I present this award. Barbara is still actively writing. Barbara actually went to Othello High School, did you not? And she is a graduate from Othello High School and still lives here in the community, and she still contributes in the many ways that she's gifted in helping this community and people of the community. She still actively writes grant applications for the community. She acquired approximately $4 million in grant funding for our community and adjacent communities while the director of the Adams County Network. She is a juvenile mentor for Adams County Juvenile Department. I particularly remember hearing the story of one young lady who Barbara mentored. She had some difficulty in her life. She was going down the wrong path, hanging around with the wrong people. And Barbara and her would meet weekly. And through the result of those meetings and the time that Barbara spent with that young woman, she is now gainfully employed in this community, has desires to go to college and get a degree, and she is now probably one of the most ambitious young women I've ever met. But large part of that transformation in that young woman's life is the efforts that Barbara put into that program through the Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative. Barbara was also the Chamber of Commerce manager and is a current Chamber of Commerce board member and still offering a lot of assistance and support. She was the Adams County, as I said earlier, the Adams County Community Network staff and obtained a lot of grant funding for our community that went to a number of different, through the community counseling and the juvenile department that helped, and the local police departments to to have an impact on the youth of our community. She's also a member of the Beautification Committee. And tonight, I have the distinct honor to present to Barbara Anderson a City of Othello Community Service Award for providing outstanding volunteerism to the City of Othello. Thank you. And also, it's my honor to give you this pin for your many years of service, and we want to thank you so much. And you have the floor now if you want to say a few words.
You know, I couldn't believe when he could not tell me. So I texted Sean and I said, there are a lot of very deserving people out there. I think that you made the wrong decision. And you know, it could be he's my friend, because he said to me, when I get to be mayor, then I can choose to give a word. That all the parties need, that all it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes all of us right here to keep juveniles going down the right path. And it takes all of us right here to keep the volunteerism high and keep our community organizations sustained and reconciled. I just want to say to all of you that make up that work here.
Thank you, Barbara. So, moving on to item 2.02, tonight the City of Othello is going to receive a report from Travis Goddard about our comprehensive plan review.
Thank you very much. If you remember back in March, I came to talk to you about the various aspects of the comprehensive plan and what it was going to take to get that done. So we've had a lot of opportunities. So a bit of this you might have seen before, but I'll try and cover it really quickly. I'm aiming for about 15 minutes of presentation so we can get to your questions and comments. So the comprehensive planning is the articulation of goals and considerations of various courses to achieve those goals. And this is, again, creating a document that I call my North Star. It gives me the opportunity, as well as the other city staff, to be able to always take a look up from our daily grind to make sure that we're heading in the right direction. And as I discussed at the beginning, kind of the steps of the process were going to be the research to find out, you know, the nuts and bolts of the measurable stuff that's going on in the community, then do the public input and the formulation of goals and objectives, and the actual step that we're on now, and that is kind of the preparation of the plan elements, which is what you have on your board docs files. I'm sorry, I had said that my goal was to keep it to 40 pages, and I'm at about 73 already, so There's just way too much going on in town to keep it shorter, but I'll try my best going forward not to make it much longer. And then, of course, the next steps that are going to be, and that is developing the tools necessary. There's a lot of studies that are discussed, code updates and ideas that we need to have discussions on with the Planning Commission and bring to you so that we can implement as much of this plan as possible. And the functions of the comprehensive plan, for those of you like John who've heard this multiple times, I'll try and go through these quickly. Improve the physical environment of the city of Othello. We want to promote the public interest of the community at large versus the interest of individual or special interests. We want to facilitate and implement the community policies on the physical environment, and to affect political and technical coordination of community development. So we want to make sure that staff is able to implement the actual will of the elected officials. We want to inject long-range considerations into the determinations of short-term actions. So on a daily basis, I want to be able to make sure that they're both meeting the code and the direction that the community wants to move in. And we want to bring professional and technical knowledge to prepare, to bear on the making of political decisions concerning development. So the idea is that as I make daily decisions, that you're not getting complaints because it's contrary to what the city wants and putting you in a politically difficult position. The idea is you're giving me the direction that I will be able to implement. And so, again, a couple things I want to cover really quickly. There, for some reason, there's a slide missing there. The file is awfully big, so it doesn't look like it's loading all of my, so let's go back to that, the slideshow, and I'll make do with what I have. See, all of my maps didn't make it. Okay, so So essentially what I did is I did a lot of research in the very beginning to determine what is the size of population that the city of Othello should be planning for. And what I determined was is the state has scenarios where the city will grow between a rate of 0.5 and 1.5 over the next 20 years, which gives us a population range of about 8,800 to 11,000. And I didn't feel that was realistic based upon the population growth that we've seen since 2010 and actually since 2000, so we've been growing at a faster rate than that. So one of the metrics I took a look at was the percentage of county population. Overall, the county population has been holding steady and growing because of Othello's growth. And in fact, the non-Othello population of the county has been shrinking, whereas the population of Othello has been growing at a greater rate. And so what you're seeing here is the green line represents that Othello's percentage of the population in the county is vastly increasing. Like within the last 20 years, it's gone up almost 10%. Whereas the population of the county that is outside of Othello is shrinking, and you can see that in these two trend lines. The purple line representing the county is getting a smaller and smaller percentage of the county, whereas Othello is becoming a bigger and bigger percentage of the population. And rather than taking the straight up Department of Financial Manager or the Office of Financial Management rates, what I did instead is I took a look at the city's building permit trends since 2000 to 2015, and I determined what our likely building rate was going to continue as. I projected that out for 20 years, and the number I got was we were going to have about 3,472 units by 2035. I then took that and multiplied it by the average number of people per house here in Othello, and I came up with a 20-year population projection of 17,825. Part of the reason why I took such an inflated rate was because the idea of having a comprehensive plan means that we're prepared for growth. And if we grow more slowly than I projected, it just means we're planning farther out in advance, as opposed to if we were to take a 10,000 population as the state thinks is going to be our middle growth pattern. It just means that we're going to come back in 3 or 4 years, and if we have a big year, it blows those projections out of the water. And so better that we plan farther ahead than not far enough ahead.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes.
Since I'm not familiar with what the state recognizes, because you, as you stated in this projection, population projection, which all of our numbers for water supply and everything else are based upon, does the state, do they give us the flexibility within our plan to create our own formula so that we, you know, using, like you did a good job of putting, you know, these per household trends, increasing the, you know, based on building permits and whatnot. They give us that flexibility.
Yes, they do. The if we were a growth management, a Washington State growth management jurisdiction, we would not have that flexibility. What the growth management does is it calculates an estimated population and it allots it to the county. And then what the county would then do is they would say, okay, we're going to have X amount of growth. We expect some of it in the rural area. We expect some of it at Lynn, some of it at Ritzfield, and some of it at Othello. And if they allotted, so if they expect the county to grow 5,000 over the next decade, they could say that we expect 3,000 of that at Ritzville, 1,000 at Lynn and Othello. You are allotted 1,000. At which time we could either take them to court and sue them because we think we should have a bigger part of that share. And then under growth management, what would happen is we would then turn around and we'll take our allotment of another 1,000 people and decide, okay, how much residential land will we need to accommodate 1,000 people and so and so. So it's much more structured. The idea, of course, being in the Seattle metropolitan area, they want to try and keep the city smaller and grow higher densities instead of massive amounts of sprawls. But that's exactly the reason why growth management doesn't apply to smaller communities like Othello and Adams County, is because that kind of thinking doesn't necessarily work on the scale that we deal with. Therefore, we can determine how big we think we're going to grow. Now, the catch-22, of course, is if we plan big and we grow quickly, at some point, we might become on the radar of the Growth Management Act. And I think it's if you have a 10% population growth for like more than 5 of 10 consecutive years, then you might be triggered into growth management. So I'll have to watch that and make sure.
Is that a county decision though?
No.
At this state?
No. So I'm aware of those things and we'll, you know, probably include that as part of our environmental review going forward of what the implications of such a rapid growth. But again, the idea is that we want to be prepared for big growth so that if something good happens, we're prepared. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, quickly going through the chapters. Chapter one is land use. In it, I've identified the existing land patterns as best as I could. I've discussed the vacant land that is available within the city and why we need to expand, and the constraints, including the canals, the highways, the intersections that are potentially going to cause us problems. And the other thing the new idea that's proposed in it, and that's a new way to think about zoning rather than our existing zoning district, which really kind of has the same lot sizes for each zone. R1 allows you to do single-family residential, R2 essentially allows you to do single-family and duplexes, R3 allows you to do singles, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, and then R4 allows you to start doing multifamily homes. And so it really is not that much difference between them. But for example, for residential, we want to introduce the ideas of mixed uses, being able to do commercial on the first floor, residential on the second floor, or to mix in duplexes and single-family residences, big lots, large lots in a single subdivision with different sizes, different house sizes, different house types, and affordability based upon sizes within a single residential district. Also, the idea of thinking of, instead of Industrial 1 and Industrial 2, and Industrial 1 is primarily, if you're familiar with the zoning map, it's essentially the railroad corridor, and as you know, there's not a lot of development in there. The county owns quite a bit of land, the railroad owns quite a bit of land, but there's really not that much usable Industrial 1 or light industrial. And the idea of the plan is that we're going to start thinking of it as lighter, lower impact, heavy, more impact, but we want to have it concentrated in, if at all possible, industrial parks so that we can capitalize on less infrastructure costs. And commercial, the idea that we should be structuring our commercial growth to small uses serving residential neighborhoods and kind of the second tier of stuff that draws people in from the entire community. And then, of course, that third tier, which is drawing people off of the highways, the gas stations, the motels that aren't necessarily used by, or hotels are a great example, they're not necessarily used by the local community. So it's a new way to think of land use. Here is a copy, I'm glad to see this loaded. Here is a copy of the urban growth boundary imposed over the existing zoning districts. So Varela and Associates have prepared all new zoning maps for us, so it's a lot clearer to read. And you'll see that there's a large blue area at the north. That's kind of the industrial node, the industrial district, with the light blue, which is kind of light industrial, which would allow for a transition between heavy industrial and residential. The yellow is various versions of residential. And you see that there's a lot of land there, and in this chapter it talks about how much land is included. I made some major assumptions based upon the fact that we're going to need X amount of residential, and a lot of property owners within there are just going to tell me, yeah, go take a leap. They're not interested. Maybe 50% of that area is not interested. 50% of it is makes too much money as agriculture, you know, a portion of it is going to be existing residences and they're not interested in further subdividing. So part of it is we needed to include enough land so that as willing partners approach us to subdivide, that they are, we've got a plan in place to get them services. Also, the other thing I want to note is there's various commercial nodes around the community, but I've made an attempt to try and keep our existing commercial core as the focus of our commercial efforts going forward. Chapter 2 is housing. I identified the existing housing issues and the existing shortage, which I estimated to be about 405 units. And I discussed the shortage of residential land that's available for development and why we need to expand to include more residential. I also included an annexation prioritization so that when annexations come before you, it gives you kind of an ability to determine, is it time for them to annex or is it time to tell them no so that we're better prepared to provide. A great example is the annexation that went out to the watering hole. That entire annexation already had existing development on it, and only about 4 acres of, I think it was 160 acres was annexed at that point, and none of it has developed since then. It'll be interesting now that we've installed well 9 in the sewer pipe that goes with it to see if some of that development actually occurs, because it might be a great example of we annexed it 10 years ago and it went totally undeveloped during that time. So we also made an effort to project the amount of residential needed, and the chapter advocates for some development of new tools to provide choices for housing. Chapter 3 is the capital facilities. It covers everything that we could possibly think of and the implications of growth as best we could. It describes the existing conditions, what's available in the community, and the projected needs, if I was able to do that. But a lot of the problems that we're experiencing with capital facilities, like a long-range plan for when the sewer plant needs to be expanded, what kind of shape are our sewer pipes in, what kind of shape is our water system in, how much are we losing from leaky pipes, that's not available. So much of this chapter refers to a strategy for laying out what needs to be done. Chapter 4 is transportation. It identifies the needs of the existing systems and links planning and spending. It identifies information and studies that are needed. One of the major features of this chapter is it identifies truck routes, arterials, collectors, but it leaves the local street decisions to occur on the project-by-project basis. And the map for that is also available on this wall, and it essentially lays out where the likely or the best, most logical place for putting our arterials and collectors in. And it also explains the difference between the kinds of roads and what they should be used for. This plan, if you get a chance to look at it, it will be sent to you this week. It includes intersections of interest, meaning that we know that they're on our radar and we need to pay attention. And this newest version includes primary intersections of interest, Highway 26, Bench and 24, 26 and 1st, Main Street and 17, and Lee in 17. Those are the ones that are really going to open the floodgates of opportunity once we decide what we want to do with those intersections. The other ones are secondary importance, and a great example might be Bench and 14. It's feeling pressure, and it's on the county's radar, but from the city's point of view, unless we get across the highway, what they do at Bench and 14 is really secondary. So if you have any questions about that chapter, it's an interesting one. Chapter 5 is about economic development. I need to thank Stephen McFadden, who did the majority of the work, and he provides goals and objectives linked to how we create economic growth in the city and the Panhandle and Adams County in general. It demonstrates the importance of good planning as a catalyst for economic growth, and he has clearly indicated that this is a tool that he is going to be using to help recruit new industry to the area, because it shows that we understand what we're doing and that we're going to be capable to accommodate growth. The Parks and Rec chapter is chapter number 6. It reflects the needs for our recreation facilities, and it provides the projected outlook, which is a total of 175 acres, almost 176 acres. And as you read through that, there's a list of the desired recreational uses that came up in the conversations and the public input sessions that we had. It's pretty comprehensive and includes some whimsical things, but it also includes some stuff that everybody knows we really kind of need around here. It identifies locations, broad locations, where the facilities could be located. And this is the map that was done by Burrell and Associates. These large dark green patches are kind of areas where there's been an identified, you know, a desire or a lack of service from our existing park and recreation infrastructure. The light green is the existing open spaces or recreational opportunities. So you see them in the core, but beyond that, there's really some large areas where there's a desert for opportunities to recreate. It includes a trail plan that generally assumes that there's going to be major collectors and arterials that include sidewalks, so people will be able to walk and ride down those. It includes 4 purple dots, which represent what the comprehensive plan calls as gateway features, and it calls for the community to get together and decide or design some kind of gateway features that will help people realize that they have arrived at Othello. And then it puts them at key locations where people are likely to spot them and recognize the changing Othello landscape. It also includes some corridors where we hope to pipe drainage and canals and create walking trails, greenways. And also it includes a major greenway corridor along all of the highway frontage. The idea, of course, being we want a community where someone drives into Othello and they immediately notice that the landscape has changed and they get a positive image of Othello just based upon the fact that all of these highways, instead of being surrounded by sagebrush and fields, now have walking paths and recreation facilities, attractive residential and commercial developments, those kind of things. So that's generally what you'll find on this map and in this chapter. And then the last chapter is conservation and environment, and it essentially lays out how we're going to preserve the resource lands and critical areas in Othello. The reason why I threw these last two bullets up there is because we are mandated by the Department of Commerce to update our critical areas ordinance next year, and you will be seeing me in probably in early January requesting a resolution to authorize me to apply for a community development block grant to do some code changes. Primarily, it will be justified by the critical areas ordinance update, but with all of the other code changes that we know we need to do, I'll do it more of a generic description so that we should be able to get an additional grant like we're doing with the comprehensive plan to help pay for those efforts. So it'll be nice if we can use some state funds instead of general fund funds to get some of this work done going forward. And this is a map of the existing indicators for wetlands and critical areas. We actually have one floodplain that would be in the growth area, and it's for an unnamed drainage on the other side of Highway 17. And this blue represents modeled wetlands. It's not necessarily existing wetlands, but it gives you an idea that there are very few environmental constraints and critical areas in Othello and in the Othello growth area that we're looking at. So when we update those, it's going to be a blessing for us because just a lot of it is going to be an exercise because it doesn't necessarily apply to us. And that's pretty much it. Are there any questions?
So Travis, going forward from today to the approval of the comp plan, can you walk us through those steps?
Sure. So I don't know whether you necessarily want to give me any direction today. I could come back. I don't know if we're meeting later on in December or it can be January. If you can go ahead and put me on your agenda, then we can talk about specifics, anything you would like added. But at this point, if you like what you see, you can just authorize me to start the environmental review. I'll need to send it to State Department of Commerce and some other state and federal agencies to read it, make sure that it's justified in sound planning and statistical analysis, and then they'll want to make sure we're spending their money in a worthwhile way. And once the environmental stuff is done, you will essentially be able to decide whether you like it or not. If you want to remand stuff for me to add to or take out, then you can adopt it. And that will be the end of the process. It'll be on to code modifications and tool development.
Okay, Travis. Council. Okay. Very good, Travis.
Okay. I'm sorry. There are members who participated in the groups or pretended in the public participation process. So they may want to get up and give you some input, and John may be interested in giving you some background on how it went and what they thought.
Okay, yes, I understand we have a high school teacher with us. Do you want to come to the microphone and state your name for the council, and then address us in any information that you'd like.
My name is Mary Jo Harvey, and we've lived in the village for about a year and a half. Love it. I've recently been transferred to the high school where I get to teach civics. Love it. Some awesome kids. Three of them are here tonight. And one of the things our students do in the civics class is they do a civic action project where they identify something they're interested in that they'd like to change in their world and affect policy. And they also do, either they volunteer, write a letter, or attend a meeting, and then write a summary of that meeting. They're required to do two of those three things. And I think as the semester starts to end, people have started to decide that they want to get those things done. So I just think it's really important for them to know that meetings like this occur, school board meetings occur, and it takes a lot of work to make sure that we have, you know, a nice, safe place to live and to plan ahead and things like that. So
thank
that's
you,
why
Mary
I asked
Jo.
Them to do that. So thank you.
Very nice to meet you. Thanks.
You too.
Do any of the students have anything they'd like to add to Mary Jo's comments? Okay, hearing none, I have a few mayor announcements. Our Shop with a Cop program is scheduled for Saturday, December 12th. Do you have any further detail on that, when it starts, Debbie, or? Okay.
Usually they'll go out for lunch, maybe have a local nurse pro, and they'll take the children shopping, and then they'll be back here to wrap presents around 2 o'clock.
And usually there's a high school group. Is it the drill team, or is it the wrestling team, or somebody helps them?
We have the police reserves and the sheriff's department and the police department.
And they all help wrap?
For wrapping?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody can show up. They can always use an extra hand.
Okay. Staff is also taking donations of youth hats, gloves, and scarves to hang on the tree. I see we have quite a number of them already. All donations will be taken to the fire department to be included in the Christmas baskets, which will be delivered on Saturday, December 19th.
Correct.
Correct. Anything you want to add to that, Ken? On the Christmas baskets?
We're taking donations. Any donations could be dropped off at either the fire department or at my business, Johnson's Glass. In need of canned foods and stuff right now, but desperate need of canned foods.
Okay.
But normally the way the calendars kind of fell this year, we're kind of a week shorter of time to work on it, so it's coming together quick and fast.
Also, I'd like to announce, thank you, Ken, the Association of Washington Cities has offered 6 $1,000 scholarships for Washington State graduating seniors. The criteria sheet and application form has been sent to the Othello High School. Our scholarship committee, who is Councilwoman Doro and Councilman Eugene Bain, are going to review the completed applications the first part of March. And our one selection will be forwarded to the Association of Washington Cities for their final selection. They will be competing against those selections from cities across the state of Washington. So with that, and having no further business to come before the council, we will accept committee reports, and I will adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:43 p.m.